The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Class is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome to Spirituality 101. I'm Reverend Norma, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you today. Welcome. Spirituality 101 is the missing college course, the course they never taught in college, the one that was intended to instruct us on the spiritual aspects of our being. So this is an empowerment class. It's designed to help you to put ancient wisdom teachings into the fabric of your everyday life, which should help you to walk your spiritual talk. We're not a religious broadcast. Rather, we're here to help you claim your spiritual birthright. That is, to be happy, to be at peace, to come to know the truth that dwells within you, and to be able to create in this world with all of your senses and see the universe through the lens of practical spirituality. Often I find that when people hear the word spirituality, they tend to think that that's possibly a very complicated subject. And I'd like to think that on this show, we bring you the simplicity of that side of your nature that is spiritual. Because believe it or not, it's a whole lot simpler than you think. And when we begin to walk it rather than to talk it so much, the simplicity comes through and we begin to see through these naturally simple lens that help us to understand our nature. Today, we have a special session. Today I want to thank all of those listeners out there because, believe it or not, you know, when you begin a broadcast such as this, you do wonder whether there's anyone out there listening. And the questions in my mailbag indicate to me that there are people out there who are not only listening but are keenly interested in some of the topics that we have presented so far. So I want to thank you for your participation, for your emails, for your interest, for your comments, your questions, and I want to tell you it's all been very stimulating and keeps me on my spiritual toes. Thank you. Today's session is more of a getting to know each other. We're delving into the mailbag to answer your questions, which gives me an idea. I get a glimpse of who you are out there and what you're interested in. Two of our listeners have shown a keen interest in learning more about my own spiritual journey. So I think I want to begin there. If you've read my bio, you'll know that I was born in Guyana, South America. There's a lot you can learn from reading the bio. But I'm assuming here that Susan of Maryland, when she wrote her question, is more interested in what's not in the bio than what is in it. And this was Susan's question. I've listened to all three of your sessions, and you've caused me to pause and think deeply on the nature of the spirit and the ways in which I can be more mindful, grow spiritually. I'm sensing that there is a whole lot more to life than meets the eye. I would like to hear a little bit more of your personal journey on the path of spiritual growth. What made you delve into the spiritual side of yourself? I want to thank you for this very interesting question. I was born with spiritual sight. I was born with a call, which is a covering over the face. When the baby is born, it has to be removed. And my mother tells me that in the tradition and the culture in which I was born and raised, it is understood that someone who was born with a veil over the face is someone that has come here with special instructions. And with the ability to see not only in this world, but in the spiritual world. Until I was age 12, it never occurred to me that everybody else in the world was not seeing what it is that I was seeing. And that led to a great deal of confusion, because I was assuming at all times that they could see the human aura. I was assuming that they can see and identify the healing elements in plants. And it was not until I was 12 that I discovered that that was not so. At the age of 9, my calling was spoken into existence. In my culture, it takes an elder to speak it into existence that allows the journey to begin. And so for me, the journey began at 9. I was not really too familiar with what was expected. But from the way people spoke and they behaved, it gave me an indication that this was serious and this was deep, and I really just wanted to be a child. I have to thank my parents, who understood that the journey will take me into some very serious places, and so they committed themselves to ensuring that I enjoyed the spiritual as well as the childhood journey. Along the way, I've come from a lineage or a line of Christian ministers, 3 generations of those. Both of my grandparents and both sides of the family were Christian ministers. And so by the time I was 12, I'd probably read the Bible 3 times from cover to cover and had developed an entire notebook full of questions that needed to be answered. And then I proceeded to start asking these questions, much to my mother's horror. My mother would say, "Would you go to church, sing the hymns, say the prayers, but please don't ask these questions that pastors don't seem to be able to answer." Got married at a very early age of 19. That's what we did in our culture. And journeyed with my husband to London, England, to begin the task of gaining an education and expanding the horizons. Began the journey of raising children, which in itself is a very, very spiritual. I find a very, very spiritual experience, and I hope that all those parents out there listening to me understand that what you're doing is a very spiritual thing, and in so many ways is one of those major ways that the universe has provided for us to really come into our spiritual growth. But those questions in that notebook continued to sit there, and I began to look for ways in which to find answers. My very first spiritual teacher was in London. His name was Father Hugh Cuthbertson, and he was the pastor, the minister of an Anglican church that we attended. He was a very spiritual man and had an immense interest in spiritual things. And so we began to have conversations and discussions, and he first began to answer some of those troubling questions that I had in my notebook. He understood angels and guardian angels. He understood that there was a special spiritual depth to human beings. And so he began the instruction, began to instruct me in helping me to understand that. My second spiritual teacher, there have been 7 of them, was a very interesting woman. The second journey was with what I call grassroots spiritual instructions. And she was an elder well into her 80s, and she was a healer, very powerful healer. And I found my way, she lived in Guyana, South America, I found my way to her doorstep with my little book of questions. And the very first question I asked her was, who am I? I was seeking the answer to the question, who am I? And she looked at me and she says, I can't answer that question for you. That's a question you have to answer for yourself. However, I can help you to determine who you're not. And so she showed up along with 11 other elders at my home. And walking through the home, she asked my husband to escort her through the home, and she congratulated us on beautiful home we created. And then she proceeded to instruct the other 11 people who came with her to dismantle the house, take down the art off the wall, the artifacts, put everything in the middle of each room and cover it over with sheets. And then she said, let's walk through your home again, she says. I can't tell you who you are. I can tell you who you're not. And this that you have accumulated, including the degrees and the certificates and all the things that the world has said about you, is not who you are. And if you want an answer to that question, you will have of who you are, you'd have to begin on a very serious internal journey of self-discovery, because it is only your spirit who can instruct you on who you are. Of course, after she left, we were left with the dilemma of what to do with the art and what to do with the crystals and the artifacts, and certainly what to do with all the certificates and degrees that hung on the wall. So that was my very first serious journey walking the process. She was a very interesting lady, too, and I remember taking to her a question that said, who is God and why in the world is he taking care of people the way he should? And she had a very interesting way of answering that. She looked me in the eye and she said, I need a 40-day fast from you. And incidentally, when you get to the last 7 days, I only need water in your body. You will just drink water for 7 days. At the end of the fast, I lost about 3 dress sizes, and I showed up at her home and she burst out laughing and she says, ah, you're still alive. Who took care of you? The last 7 days of your fast, you were confined to water only. So who took care of you during those 40 days when you provided very inadequate nourishment to your body? And she said, so we won't entertain this discussion about God not doing what he's supposed to do. And then she gave me some instructions I'd like to give to you. She made me pull out a notebook and draw 2 columns in that notebook. And in the 2 columns, she said, on the one side is God's work. 90% of what takes place in the world, she says, is God's work to do. 10% is yours. Can you mind your own 10%, which is your business, and do it to the best of your ability, and leave God to do his 90? I leave that with you as we take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Spirituality 101.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical
biopsy. VMA MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Tune into InnerSpeak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. InnerSpeak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today we are delving into the mailbox, and we are answering questions. If you have any questions out there and you're listening and you would like to get answers to your questions, please feel free to call in or to send that email, because I promise you that we will take time on this show to attempt to answer your questions. Let's get back to the spiritual journey, my own spiritual journey, briefly. Along the way, the universe has sent me 7 serious spiritual teachers. It's very interesting that most of the time they found me rather than me being in search of them. And some of the topics that I spent time under the tutelage of teachers to master is meditation and contemplation. That took 3 years of my life. The power of silence, and for about 3 years of my life, I was asked to hold 4 hours of silence every day, to find a way to hold those hours of silence, to climb within so that one can hear what is really happening on the inside. There was energy healing and the opportunity to walk with a healer and observe the ways in which energy healing comes forth. There was the therapy that today is a big part of what it is that I do, that is music and sound therapy, using sound at multiple levels to be able to help people to release baggage that they may be carrying and to opening them up to moving on to higher realms. There was a period that was called remembering, where I was taught how to go backwards in time. We call it past lives. And remember the elements of what it is that has been taken from one lifetime to the other and what it is that needs to be accomplished in this lifetime. It's been a very interesting journey. There were times when it was alone. I would not say lonely, but I would say it was an alone journey. And but I have learned much from it, and it has taken me into very many very special places. I see we have Mark holding on the line. Hello, Mark. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Norma. How are you?
I am fine. And how are you, and how can I be of service?
I'm well. I'm well. Thank you. I was listening to your description of your life, and something came to my attention, the principle of having an aura around us. My understanding is that it's our life force, but I was wondering if you can expand further in describing what this aura is and the role it plays in our lives.
Thank you for that question, and I believe I mentioned it last week, and you have just brought me back to it, and thank you very much. The aura is it's an energy field that surrounds not just the human body, but all living things. It vibrates at a very unique frequency for each person, and it is the field in which all of our spiritual activity, all of our spiritual element, it's the field that I guess hones and holds all the spiritual energy that is coming down, and then has a way of filtering that into the body. Now, as a child, I was born with the gift of sight to be able to see the human aura, which created quite a lot of confusion for me, because I assumed that everybody else could. And if you can see the human aura, you can actually catch disease before it hits the body, because everything happens in the spirit first, and therefore enters this spiritual field called the aura. It's egg-shaped, and it consists of vibrating, moving, brilliantly beautiful colors that are interwoven with mathematical shapes and its color and shapes. It's the dance of life when you can observe it. But it is very spiritual in nature, and it feeds the physical body. Of course, in our spiritual journey, or when we're on a spiritual path, the whole idea is to be able to become aware. Some people can eventually be taught to see it. Others sense it. Others can feel it. Some people can work with it. And a great deal of spiritual healing comes by way of the aura. Does that help you to understand it?
Yes, it does, it seems like it's sort of a prerequisite plan for us, to the extent that, like you said, everything happens in the spiritual realm and in our aura first before it's manifested through the physical realm. So I guess the key is to get in tune with that in order to realize our, I guess, spiritual and human potential, no?
That's correct.
Yes.
That is ideally correct. It is the dance of life, and it is really a very beautiful thing to be able to observe it. It carries all the colors of the rainbow and a few more that you see on the spiritual realm, and most healers are really working through that field, because when you can fix it in the auric field will fix the repair or transfer the repair into the physical. It's kind of interesting that when you're looking at the human aura and there is disease coming up in a particular portion, then that portion of the body, whatever it is, may have an overshadowing of gray in the auric field, which tells you that it's about to be transferred into the physical, or you can tell when it has already been transferred.
Can I just along that vein, if you don't mind, do you feel, you said you have these attributes, but do you feel that maybe that they could have been passed down from you also from your parents in some respects?
Well, that's another interesting question. You see, I happen to walk with the belief and the view that every single human being has the same capacity. Now, I think, of course, whether or not we develop the capacity is not a story. What I would say that we inherit from our parents is we may have been raised with parents who were more spiritual than others. And therefore, like, for example, when I was coming up, my father also had sight. Not to the extent that I did, but he also had sight. So that when I would say things, he would not be flipped out about it. And that, I think, probably saved me from a mental institution, because he also was of a higher consciousness level. He was better able to support what was emerging out of me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think the level of consciousness is about consciousness. The level of consciousness with which you were raised will determine the extent to which you will pursue this or that or the other spiritual activity.
It's funny you say that, because actually, in actuality, I do see that when I think about it. And sometimes, like you said, people don't even realize it, and they make comments to you about it, and you're like, wow, I thought you're seeing the same thing, kind of like what you were saying, and they're not. And they feel like you have some kind of gift or something, and you're like, it's just natural to you. So, but I could see your point. And,
I think everyone is gifted. I really do believe that. But the extent to which they are living how consciously are you living? When we're living on survival mode, or we think we're living on survival mode, then we've got all of our awareness towards feeding, housing, clothing, and to the exclusion of everything else. Can you see what I mean? It depends on how conscious we are and what we're focused on. When we're focused on, I gotta have. When we're focused on money is the key to living in the United States of America or anywhere else, then all of our place, our focus, you see, wherever we place our focus through that auric field is what the universe will send back to us more of. So a lot of the time it has to do more with how conscious are you walking, how conscious are the people around you who have been designated to support you, that will determine the extent to which you can open up. And of course, the earlier you can open up, it's the more you can get into your own work and your own destiny later in life.
And thank you for that. And I think what while you did, my last comment is what you just said about money and you had to have. I think when Jesus said something to the rich man, he said, "How can I be saved?" And he basically Jesus told him that he had to get rid of his money and follow him, knowing that he had committed. The guy, you know, he said he kept all these other commandments, but he still felt that there was something that was missing, you know, and he wanted to be saved. And Jesus said, you know, sell everything and give your money away and follow me. And he had a big issue with that. So it seems like that was blocking his ability to come into realization of who he truly was and to focus on God.
I want to really, you've brought up a great subject, but we've got a few minutes to break, so I'll keep talking to the break, and if we have to come back to it, we'll come back to it. First of all, Jesus Christ was a metaphysician. A lot of people don't understand that. He understood metaphysical principles. He lived that way, and he taught that way. Oh, there is nothing wrong with money itself. Money has a place in our lives. I don't want to go on record that money is not important. However, the love of money to the exclusion of the love of your Creator and the love of seeking truth, the love of money to the exclusion of the things that are spiritual is what is dangerous. And when we have money and all our focus holds it up almost as though it's a god, then the only way to break through is to let it go. If we can walk with the money, but still hold the charge to explore our spirituality and become the best that we can be spiritually, having the money is no problem at all. Can you understand that? We have to take a break here. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Manifest your personal and professional dream by honoring your true genius and magnificence. On DeMartini, Live and Inspired, host Dr. John F. DeMartini shares his enlightening perspectives, humorous observations of human nature, and practical action steps to live a truly inspired, purposeful, and fulfilling life. His scope of knowledge and experience is a culmination of 34 years of research and studies. Dr. DeMartini's trailblazing philosophy and revolutionary understanding is reshaping modern psychology and business and changing the lives of millions. Broadcasting each week as a special program on the Seventh Wave Network, DeMartini, Live and Inspired, transforms thought and stimulates action. Get ready to break through to live an amazing life.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma. And today's program, we're delving into the mailbag, and we are accepting your calls with your questions. And we just had Mark on the line with two very interesting questions, and I hope that he's satisfied, at least enough to investigate a little bit more. Now, I had a question from Julia in Pittsburgh, and her question was, what do you mean by walking back into divine rhythm? And Julia, I want to thank you very much for this question. Next week, our topic will be As Above, So Below, where this question really belongs, but you'll get a little preview in me answering this question. Who we are spirits desperately trying to be human, but we came into the world with a contract with the universe. And that contract that we have with the universe is very spiritual. Contract was drawn up, and the blueprints are lodged above us from whence we came, from the spiritual world. And while we are here, we are really a replica. We are a creation of the divinity we need to be in order to manifest that contract. If my contract requires me to be a teacher, whether it's a physical teacher or a spiritual teacher, then there are blueprints up there in the spiritual realm that are in accordance with what it is that I'm here to accomplish. And when I'm here, I am walking with that same hologram. A hologram means it's a piece, but it's a piece of the whole that contains the whole. I'm walking around with the same hologram as is established above me. When we are here, even though we're spiritual, we spend a whole lot of time trying to fall in step with the physical attributes of life. And when we do that, we tend to begin to suppress the spiritual. It's like, I know how to be spiritual. I can put that aside right now because I'm really having difficulty here in fitting in and understanding this physical realm. But at some point in time, if we are to manifest, if we are to embrace our birthright and manifest our destiny and do the things that we came here to do, we have got to become mindful of getting back into that divine rhythm. All life is rhythm. Life was created inside of a womb in a very, the moment of conception was a very rhythmic moment. The 9 months that we spend within the womb is very rhythmic. The baby is growing in a sea of water, if you like, that is constantly moving. Birth experience is extremely rhythmic and has a lot of rhythmic movement and action to go with it. And from the moment we are deposited on this earth, we have to get very rhythmic. We've got to get into the act of sucking so that we can eat. We've got to get into the act of movement. We have got to learn to walk, to talk, to master language. All of these carry a rhythmic pattern to it. So at some point in our growth and development, particularly if we are striving to manifest our destiny, we have got to teach ourselves how to walk back into and under that divine rhythm with which we came into the world. And mindful listening is one of those ways to do that. Walking is an extremely powerful way to do that, because the more we walk in nature is the more we begin to step back into that natural rhythm that we came into. So what do you mean by walking back into divine rhythm? Walking back into or engaging activities that will allow us to get back into that rhythm that connects us here on earth with the divine rhythm that exists above us. As it is above, so it is below. My next question came from Jennifer. Jennifer, Washington, D.C., and I'll read her question. My husband and I recently celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. I mentioned to him that night that while we're still together, I felt that communication between us is strained. His response to my statement was that he felt he was on a higher plane of consciousness than I am, and that this contributes to the lack of real communication. How can that be possible? Jennifer, I want to thank you for this question, and I suspect you are not probably the only couple wrestling with this question or requiring or needing an answer to the question. How conscious are you? How conscious am I? How conscious are you? Meaning, where is your consciousness focused? As a pastor, I do a lot of marriage counseling. And I very often come across this problem that one or the other of the two parties have begun this inner journey and this inner walk. And sometimes it's begun quite quietly and silently. You may have one of the two partners who's decided to lose some weight and get into very physical activities in terms of exercise. You may have one of the two parties who is a lot more introspective than the other. And so sometimes, even without us consciously knowing it, we have begun that inner journey just simply through the nature of the lifestyle that we live in. And so one party may be very introspective and through physical exercise or probably following a specialized diet can find themselves on this journey while the other party is still very much focused wherever the consciousness and awareness was at the time of the marriage. What I would say to you, Jennifer, is that you really need to stop and give attention. I like to say give attention rather than pay attention. Give attention to your husband's lifestyle. Give attention to the things that are important to him. Begin your own process of self-discovery. Who am I really on the inside? Because it's not impossible for you to grow and finally fall in stride with the growth that is taking place with him. But it will require of you that you take responsibility for initiating that process, which obviously seems to have been initiated in your husband. Wish you luck in the process, and there are many, many, many books. There is a book out there called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. There is a follow-up book on Mars and Venus living very spiritually together. I would advise that you perhaps pick up those two books, and that may be the place to begin this journey of inner introspection that will help you both to walk on this path of spiritual growth. Let's see if we can take one more question. This question comes from Pat, who says, I am sensing that there is a whole lot more to life than meets the eye. I want to tell you that I like very much the way you put that question, Pat. Yes, there is a whole lot more to life than meets the eye. Human beings have a physical body. They have a spiritual body. They have an emotional body. They've got... there is a lot more, and it's not my desire to overwhelm, but it's certainly my desire to wake up my listeners. One has to wake up from this sleep of feed, house, clothe. Yes, it's necessary for us to engage the survival skills and keep ourselves alive. But then once we've done that, then we need to wake up to the fact that, as you put it, there is a lot more to life than meets the eye. There is a physical body. There is a spiritual body. There are the mundane, everyday things of life that we must do, must get up in the morning. We have to go to work. We've got to fix the car. We've got to make sure the car is properly taken care of. We have to go shopping. We have to eat. Those are the mundane things of life. But there is a whole other realm. And when we begin to engage that realm, when we begin to open up ourselves to the realm of spirit, then our lives become more fulfilling. They become more rewarding. Despite the chaos in the world, we begin to resonate with joy. Despite all of the unrest and the fear that there is in the world, when we begin to wake up that there is more to life than meets the eye, we discover that it is possible in the middle of the peace and the chaos, the unrest and the chaos in the world, that peace is actually possible within. As a matter of fact, the whole journey of life is intended to be peaceful in the middle of the unrest, quiet in the middle of all the fear, and joyous even in a world where things aren't 100% right. So I hope that that has helped you to understand that, yes, there is a whole lot more to life than meets the eye. Today we want to, in addition to diving into the mailbag, there are some spiritual goodies, spiritual truths and spiritual concepts that I want to remind you of and to leave with you. And I'm hoping that by now we've got a notebook that is more or less going on here and that you are taking notes and examining those things that seem fitting to you to embrace, and perhaps creating an email to ask questions about those that you are a little uncertain about. But all in all, I am hoping that you have begun this rhythmic journey of walking. I can't stress enough how important it is that as beings traversing this earth, we begin the process of falling back into rhythm with our spiritual self. Children come into the world and they're very much tied up until they're about 5 to the spirit world from which they came. And if we can spend time observing children, we'll begin to recognize that they have much to teach us about how to get back to the spiritual aspects of ourselves. This is Spirituality 101.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and I believe we have a caller. We have Brenda on the line. Brenda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to Spirituality 101. How can I be of service to you?
Well, I am the good student, and I have a question. You have spoken about peace within a few minutes ago, and I was thinking within spirituality, there are other aspects, for instance, and what do you think about this? The joy, finding the joy within, finding the love, finding the wisdom, finding the order, finding the understanding, finding the imagination, the will, the zeal, the enthusiasm. And the person who asked, when you talked about the couple, and I was thinking about that question and how we have to really delve in to get to that point where you can touch all those areas that lives within you. What do you think about that?
Well, thank you for your question. First of all, you mentioned that I said we have to get to the peace within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. Until we can still our restless mind and our thinking, until we can still ourselves and get into some level of peace, love and understanding and all of that is going to be a little difficult.
Okay.
So the very first place to begin is order. I will agree with you. We have to get ourselves into order, and this is why I'm asking that people get into walking. Walking and mindful listening while you're walking will take you into order. And then you'll begin, your spirit will begin to feel a level of peace, which will quieten that mind from being all over the place. And then when we've engaged that level of peace on the inside, we're ready to explore all the other aspects of spirituality. And your second question was about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The couple who seem to be at variance in
levels
terms
of consciousness.
Phrase your question again for me very quickly.
Well, my thinking is the getting to that inner stillness that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
because the husband is at one level of consciousness and the wife is at another level of consciousness. To really understand that you have to go deep within to that level of consciousness so that you can start the work.
I agree with you.
I
agree 100%. And that's why I advised her to pay attention to what her husband is doing, because that's where the key might be. He might be into exercise. He may be a whole lot calmer and quieter than she is. You know, she's walking with someone who's demonstrating who's giving her the experience and giving her powerful images as to how to get there. She just needs to pay attention. We have another caller, Stacy, on the line. So I want to thank you for your question and try to get Stacy in before we go off the air.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling. Hello, Stacy, are you there?
No, how are you?
I am fine. How can I be of service to you today?
I'm calling to ask the question. It seems as though I have had a lot of spiritual training during my young life, and it seems as though every time that a breakthrough, I would say, was just about to happen, and it would seem as though all things should be going well, at the same time, it seems as though all hell is breaking through in my life. And I was wondering, will there ever be a time where just before that breakthrough that it would seem that those things would not happen at all, or can I overcome them? Is there anything I could do differently to stop that from happening?
Well, thank you for your question, and your question is it has multiple levels to it, and we have a short amount of time, but I'll attempt to see what I can do with your question. You say that you have had your younger days, it seems, I'm hearing, that you did not have a whole lot of spiritual training, but that you're attempting to put that spiritual training now. And every time you get a breakthrough, it seems as though all hell breaks loose. That's how it works, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationships are the cornerstones for our spiritual growth to start with. So when you begin this inner journey, particularly when you're beginning it later in life, because when we're beginning it later in life, we've already got certain structures already in place
mm-hmm.
that we can't dismantle.
Mm-hmm.
So we will begin to grow, but we have to continue to work with these structures that, you know, we may not have chosen
mm-hmm.
if we had woken up at age 15.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel me?
Yes, ma'am.
And so often what seems like all hell is breaking loose is simply what may be required to break down negative structure,
mm-hmm.
to clear space. Think of it like I walk along Main Street and I see a wonderful set of old buildings on a spot that I have in my imagination. I can turn it into a beautiful set of offices.
Mm-hmm.
But right here and right now, when I bought that piece of property, there is nothing but all broken down, worn down structures on the property. So
yeah.
What do I have to do first of all? I've got to knock it down. That's all mm-hmm. hell breaking loose.
Oh, okay.
I've got to knock the structures down. I have got to create chaos.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? I've mm-hmm. got to clear the chaos out of the way, and then I can begin construction. Can you feel that?
Yes.
And you could perhaps feel that even after you've got off this stage. So what may seem like all hell breaking loose is really clearing the chaos out of the way.
So even though it may be breaking loose all around me, that in other words, you're saying stay the course because it's just a clearing.
It's just a clearing.
For what's to come.
And once you have cleared this, but once you've dismantled and it looks like chaos, then you'll clear the chaos and then you'll begin to construct the wonderful construct that comes out of the imagination.
Oh,
I hope I have answered your question.
You have.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Thank you very much.
And stay the course. There is much joy, much peace, much love that will emerge out of that chaos. When we start late, we've got structures in place that have to be dismantled. And that dismantling sometimes will mm-hmm. seem like all hell breaking loose. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's summarize what we've been doing today. We want to thank all these people who have called in and allowed us to expand on this topic. But in summarizing, I want to remind you that if you're serious about your spiritual growth, it must involve self-discovery. Self-discovery takes us to serious, serious examination of the habits that we have become because we're not our habits. And will finally take us to who we really are on the inside. So get yourself out a notebook and begin to discriminate between what are your daily habits and those things that you have kind of like learned how to do, and what are those things that come naturally from your spirit. Part of this self-discovery is mindful observation, and the subject is you. The subject is you and I. We spend a lot of time and we know how to examine and be mindfully examining others. Now we have to turn the spotlight on the inside so that we can observe. Make observation, make notes. Don't try to fix while you are making observations, but rather make observations. Oh, this is a habit. Oh, this is naturally a part of my spirit. I feel really good when I do this. I have been doing this thing here on the other end, but it's not making me feel good. And you just make notes about that, because then you will get to the next stage, which is what are we going to do about what we have discovered. Remember that silence, engage some silence every day, even if it's only 15 or 20 minutes. Sacredness is embodied in silence, and as we become silent, we can engage what is on the inside. I want to thank you for joining us today, for sending us your questions and your emails. And I want to encourage you to be still and know the God within until we meet again next Friday. And the topic will be as above, so below. And we begin the process of putting those sacred teachings into our daily life. God bless you.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.